Hello and welcome to SearchCRM.com. I'm Tim Aaron, site editor of SearchCRM.com. And today we're going to talk about some of the ways in which contact centers can alleviate some costs, but also boost productivity and effectiveness. And these are topics that are going to be on the minds of a lot of companies that will be attending ICMI's Contact Center Expo and Conference this year in Orlando. And with me to discuss these issues is Scott Sachs, a contributor to SearchCRM.com and president at SJS Solutions. So welcome back, Scott.
Thanks, Tim. Great to speak to you again.
Great. And Scott, I know you you wrote about this recently for SearchCRM.com, but virtual contact centers have really been touted as a way to reduce costs and employee churn and things like that. So can you speak to sort of the benefits and the downsides of that model?
Absolutely. And let's just, go into a little bit of background first. Virtual contact centers really took off with the voice over internet protocol and cloud technology. That was really the enablers to make it all happen. And again, virtual contact centers can range from small groups of individuals located remotely to at-home agents, and really, it's taking advantage of economies of scale because of technology. Now, looking back, the main reason companies move to virtual contact centers is the reduction of expenses. You can eliminate brick and mortar, and you can potentially lower your wages by going to areas in the country which may have lower wage rates. But organizations cannot, and I'll stress, cannot get caught up in just the cost reduction opportunity. There are many other strategic benefits, and also there are some costs that need to be incurred to make it work properly. Let me go over a few of the benefits I believe are out there. One is you can improve your service level as a result of economies of scale. And let me take an example that I actually had. I had a number of contact centers that were not virtual. They were independent. And I had small bilingual queues in each of the contact centers, and maybe four representatives each. And I really struggled trying to allocate calls and achieve service levels. When we went to a virtual environment, those two individual groups of four became one group of eight. And overnight, we saw a huge improvement in service levels. We were attaining our service levels, and at no additional cost. So one is a huge potential upside in improving service levels. Next is business continuity. Customers don't want to hear about weather-related closings of contact centers or that a contact center had high absences. If you take a work-at-home model within the virtual contact center, you really make these issues, reduce them or make them go away. If there's adverse weather conditions, individuals, did not have to commute to a physical location anymore. And even, if people are not feeling well, but, they're feeling well enough to work, but you're concerned about spreading an illness, from a work-at-home environment, they can work and not worry about, infecting other people. So you have, tremendous, business continuity opportunities. Finally, another benefit is a whole flexible workforce. Again, customers are becoming more and more demanding every day, and there are tremendous challenges with regard to scheduling agents. Now you can go across multiple time zones from the East Coast all the way out to Hawaii. People would be more willing to do split shifts because they can work from home. They don't have to worry about commuting two times during the same day. And you can even have an on-demand workforce where, again, if people are at home and they can, log on quite easily, it gives you a huge flexibility in scheduling. Now, again, with any benefits, there are also downsides and risks. And again, the virtual contact center does have a bunch of, risks. But again, with, I believe, the proper investment and focus and resources, they can be overcome. And just, to share a few of them is, one with a virtual contact center, you can get higher attrition. I mean, there are, right now, the main skill set we look for people in a contact center are good customer service skills. But now when working, remotely or at home, there are other skills that need to be, behaviors that people need to have, or self-starters, being able to work alone and work with less oversight. And that's just not right for all people, and that's okay. So, you know, talent acquisition models need to be changed to account for those other needs for the remote workforce. Quality, you know, again, it could go down quality if training it does not evolve to support remote employees. You know, again, there are many training techniques now. You know, e-learning is very effective, but there is something to speak for, you know, classroom training or the ability to interact with your peers in on-the-job training environment or as a new agent. So, again, organizations need to figure out, you know, how to mimic a classroom environment for those people who learn, you know, best in the classroom setting or, you know, other things for support for new hires when they begin, you know, taking contacts or phone calls. So, again, the training model needs to be, you know, changed to support the virtual contact center. You know, and finally, you know, what I'll say is there's a risk of customer connection decreasing. And the storyline there is, you know, employee engagement, from my perspective as an organization, is very, very critical. And how an employee is engaged with an organization directly impacts how they connect with customers. You know, agents can transfer their emotions and their commitment verbally. So it's, you know, really important for organizations to make remote employees feel part of the organization. You know, whether it's, you know, how supervisors, you know, reach out to the employees one-on-one in team meetings, you know, creating or mimicking an on-site type of communication. You know, organizations need to create opportunities for employees to get together. Again, whether virtually or employees are live nearby each other, you know, create some type of opportunity for them to meet at a local Starbucks or something for a cup of coffee, just to feel part of the company and to be, you know, and to understand what's going on. You know, so, you know, bottom line, you know, virtual contact centers, you know, provide huge benefits to an organization, aside from the reduction expenses, but from a strategic standpoint. But it's, you know, really, really critical to make sure that, you know, key investments of money, time, and resources are made to ensure the realization of those benefits.
And just to continue this theme, you kind of touched on customer connection. Companies are really seeing self-service as a really important channel nowadays. But how could companies kind of strike a balance between self-service and quality of service, because too much self-service can kind of make things difficult, right?
You know, I'm going to counter your question a little bit with another question. I'm not going to make you answer it, but, you know, I look at it very different. My company, why should companies have to strike a balance between self-service and quality of service? You know, I look at it as companies must provide the same level of service and the same customer experience regardless of the channel being serviced. So to me, there's not a balance there. And what I have actually seen is too often companies don't align the quality of service across channels. And therefore, you know, that leads to poor outcomes and actually a higher level of expenses. And, you know, let me throw out an example where, you know, you try to drive self-service and an organization has a website, but the website is designed poorly. And therefore, now the customer has to call into the contact center, and there's no information in the contact center about the customer experience on the website. So now you're having from my perspective, a very poor phone call. You're probably, you know, annoying the customer because the agent on the telephone doesn't know what's happened previously. You know, you're increasing the length of the phone call, which is a higher cost to the contact center. And again, you know, the customer is not really being satisfied. So, you know, from my perspective, you know, I don't think companies should look at it as a trade-off, but how do they, you know, create the best absolute experience regardless of the channel of communication. So, you know, again, if you take that theory and companies, you know, do it right and provide the same experience, you know, hopefully overall they'll have happier customers because the customer wants options of how to communicate regardless of channel or the various options of different channels. And you're going to have reduced costs because hopefully there will be a higher utilization of self-service because some customers don't want to speak to an agent. So, you know, So again, going back to my first comment, you know, bottom line, organizations should not shoot to strike the balance between self-service and quality of service. They really need to create the same level of customer experience and quality across all channels.
Great, Scott. Well, I really appreciate you jumping on the podcast again. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tim.
And as always, for more content on contact centers as well as other trends and issues surrounding customer service, be sure to visit searchcrm.com. I'm Tim Ahrens, and thanks for joining us.